Up next, June Squibb on her Oscar-nominated role as Kate Grant, Bruce Dern's tough and sometimes foul-mouthed wife in the film Nebraska. And then coming up in a second hour, Kim Fu discusses her debut novel, For Today I Am a Boy, about the only son in an immigrant family of four kids who's pretty sure he's really a girl. This is WNYC, WNYC.org. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter.
WNYC support comes from New York City Ballet, presenting Jewels now through February 2nd. George Balanchine linked the music of Fauré, Stravinsky, and Tchaikovsky, each to a precious stone, creating the first abstract full-length ballet. NYCBallet.com. Moss Rehab in Philadelphia, ranked among America's top 10 rehabilitation providers by U.S. News & World Report, employing research, diagnostics, and technology to work toward advanced outcomes. MossRehab.com. St. John's University, a Catholic and Vincentian university committed to academic excellence, faith, and service. Campuses are located in New York, Rome, and Paris. More information is available at stjohns.edu/red.
I'm Stephen Dubner. On the next Freakonomics Radio, we talk about the functions of gossip.
Beyond the social lubrication, I think there's another piece that's quite important, which is gossip is a warning device.
The upside of gossip, along with the down, that is next time on Freakonomics Radio. Hear this and all our Freakonomics Radio podcasts at Freakonomics.com.
Two things are for sure about June Squibb. She's not an overnight success, and she's one damn fine actress. At the age of 84, she's finally been nominated for an Oscar as Best Supporting Actress for her role as the tart-tongued Kate Grant in Alexander Payne's film Nebraska. She is a force of nature opposite Bruce Dern, who plays her husband, a man who's intent on claiming a $1 million sweepstakes check by traveling two states away. And I am delighted for June Squibb, and I'm also delighted that she could join us today on our show.
Thank you.
What did you think of your performance when you first saw the film?
Well, the first time I see myself in any film, it's always a shock. But what happened was I realized that that was my mother up there, and I hadn't used her consciously when I was shooting it. But when I saw the finished film, I really saw her.
But, of course, what you're seeing is Alexander Payne's version of
yeah.
your performance.
Yeah.
And a lot of actors have told me that sometimes they're surprised by how they come across, and sometimes they just wish that they could do it again because they see all sorts of missed opportunities.
It's just a shock at seeing yourself up there so huge, you know.
As taciturn as Bruce Dern is in the movie, your kid is a no-holds-barred kind of person. Both of you are from Illinois, aren't
yes,
you?
Yes, he's northern Illinois. I'm from south central Illinois.
Neither of you from Nebraska or Montana, where the film begins, but both of you must have be making your state proud. But do you feel that both of you share a Midwestern spirit?
Oh, yes. I think that Bruce and I both understood these people and understood the places that we were shooting in because of being from Illinois.
He said on our show that it was important to him to actually film in Nebraska.
Yes, and it was to Alexander. I don't think he would have shot it if it were not shot in the states that it happened in.
So what do you think that Midwestern spirit is?
Well, I think the people, they're very loyal. And I think they love where they live. My mother and father would never have moved away from Vandalia, Illinois, no matter what. And I think a lot of them are like that. They're very outspoken, I think. They tell it, you know, as they see it.
You said that you saw your mother.
Yes.
Did your mother curse as much as you do in the film?
No, actually, my father did. He was a businessman, but he always went down to the basement to work with wood. And I would sit on the steps, and I could hear all of these words coming up as he was pounding his thumb or, you know, doing something wrong.
Was it hard to get into acting coming from Vandalia, Illinois? What was it like?
Well, there? When I was in Vandalia, I did everything I could in school, and I learned tap dancing and some other dancing. And when I decided, well, I knew this is what I wanted to do, and when I found a path, I went to the Cleveland Playhouse in Cleveland, Ohio, and was there actually 5 years before I went to New York.
today you probably would have gone to Chicago.
Probably, because
there's
a lot of
such a great
work.
Theater
yeah.
center.
Right.
But you wound up fairly early on a show on Broadway?
Mm-hmm. I did.
With another force of nature.
Yes. Yes. Gosh, she certainly was. The Gypsy with Ethel Merman. And
what was your part?
I played Electra, the stripper. The three strippers doing You Gotta Get a Gimmick. And I had the electric light bulbs going in strategic
I'm
places.
I'm trying to imagine you now in that role. I'd imagine touring with Ethel Merman was quite an experience.
Oh, it was. And she was great. We all loved her. And when we were in L.A., they announced that Rosalind Russell was doing the movie. Well, you had a whole group of people furious. We were just so upset that she wasn't able to do it.
Well, and you felt like the role had pretty much been written for her.
For her.
Although since then, Patti LuPone has done pretty nicely by that role and a few other actors.
A few others have, yeah. I think it's a classic now. And we never dreamt that. I mean, the overture is unbelievable and the roles.
Well, some people have claimed it's the greatest musical ever written.
I think it is.
You have worked for Alexander Payne in the past.
Yes.
But your previous appearance in About Schmidt was kind of brief, wasn't it?
Well, it was brief. I died, I think, about a quarter of the way. I was in the first quarter about of the film.
You were playing Jack Nicholson's wife?
Right, Jack Nicholson's wife.
But even though you didn't have all that many scenes with him, Jack Nicholson told Bruce Dern you was someone to reckon with?
Oh, yes. No, Jack and I worked well together. It was a great experience, and the film was terribly successful. So I think we all reaped from that, you know, when you have a film that is successful.
And when I've seen a number of films where I've walked out saying, well, who was the one who played Jack Nicholson's
yes.
wife?
Or yeah.
who was the case of the 12 Years a Slave,
like,
you know, everybody said, who was the one who played that, the woman who played the slave?
Right, yeah.
Lupita.
Right.
So I guess every film is an opportunity to make people take notice.
Yeah, I think when you're first, you know, first doing film, that everything, I know I did a film called In and Out, and it was very funny, and I was very funny in it. And I didn't have more than, I would say, six lines at the most. But it made a difference.
When you say you were very funny, are you thinking about being funny? Or
no.
Do you play it straight?
I have done comedy on stage for years. I did cabaret, the skits and everything. I never think funny. It's always a scene. I'm playing the scene.
Mm-hmm. And you trust the script
yes.
to make it
yeah.
funny.
Yeah.
Why do you think Alexander Payne didn't immediately think of you for Kate?
Well, the woman in About Schmidt was a sweet little lady, although she'd had an affair that no one knew about. But she was a sweet woman, and I think he thought this was me. I think he thought this was June Squibb.
So what did you have to do to convince him otherwise?
Well, he sent me a script. I don't know why, you know, all at once he began feeling that maybe I could do it, because he sent me a script, and I taped two scenes, the getting off the bus scene and the cemetery scene, and sent it to him.
Well, that cemetery scene.
Isn't that fun?
Oh, my.
Isn't that fun?
My guess is June Squibb, who's been nominated for an Oscar for Best Supporting Actress as Kate Grant in Alexander Payne's Nebraska. Let's talk a bit about that cemetery scene. Obviously, we can't have you say some of the lines because we're in radio. But at the same time, does that feel liberating?
It does, especially, you know, when you read a script as great as this script was. It truly was a phenomenal script. And you see, you know, the thing about the skirts, lifting the skirts, and it's fun. I mean, this is something that you don't do most of your life. And you're told, all right, this woman does this kind of thing, and she's a free spirit. She'll say anything. That's very joyous to do, for me anyway.
You mock a number of people you know who are dead in that scene.
Right, yeah.
What kind of mindset did you have to get into for that? Because you have to make the audience continue to like you at the yeah. same time that you're saying all these curmudgeonly things.
Well, I think, you know, I've said before, when I read this script, I knew this woman. I truly knew who she was, and I knew what was driving her, why she's saying the things she's saying. And there was something, whether it was the Midwestern or the fact that I saw my own family in it or what, but I felt akin to it.
So when you got the script, you said, these are the two scenes I have to do to convince Alexander.
I chose them. Yeah, I think I chose them to do. I just thought they were great scenes. I mean, she's furious when she gets off the bus having to deal with these two men again. And then the cemetery scene is so great.
Well, part of her appeal is that she is the voice of common sense.
Yeah.
Despite all of those other things. But you do wonder whether she has fallen out of love with her husband.
I never felt that. I always felt from the first when I read that script that she loves this man. That's why she's still with him. I mean, he was an alcoholic. He's now going into dementia, but I don't think she will ever leave him.
Did the film version pretty much, was it pretty similar to the two sample scenes that you sent? What
yes.
you sent him were pretty much the equivalent of an audition.
Yes, yes. And those
so Alexander didn't say to you, June, I'd like you to do a little more of this, a little more of that?
No, but what happened, I sent in two versions because he was not there telling me exactly what he wanted. So I sent one, and the first one I did was very close to the woman you see in the film now. And the other one was a little what I call straighter. She wasn't quite as volatile.
Mm-hmm. And so you're giving him options.
Yes, and saying, look, this could be done many different ways. And he was impressed with that. He's even said, you know, my God, sending in two versions. Well, how did she think of that, you know? But it just seemed the simple thing to do since I didn't know what he wanted.
Do people tell you when they meet you that they're surprised that you're so different from
yes,
this character?
Yes, people do, yeah.
Is the cemetery scene your favorite moment in the film?
No, you know what I love is that compressor scene where the two boys steal the compressor and then Bruce and I are in the car. And I just think that whole scene is brilliant, as written and as we did. I mean, it just is perfect. It's a perfect scene.
We don't want to reveal what happened.
No, no.
I find it hard to believe that you worked for such a long time in the theater before you actually made your first
yes.
film. How did Woody Allen come to cast you in
Alice?
Well, 1990. You were already in your 60s.
Yes. At that point, there was a lot of film being done in New York. And
as there is now.
Yes. There's a huge amount
more
now.
More here, I'm told, than in Hollywood these days.
Well, film, it could be. I think there's more television there still, but there's an awful lot here. But this was one of those times in history when everybody was sort of flocking to New York to do their films. And I went to my agent and I said, I know other people that are doing films, and I think it's time that I did one. So he got me an audition for Woody Allen's Alice. And the casting director, the assistant to Juliet Taylor, was Ellen Lewis. She was casting Son of a Woman. So she brought me in on that, and I got it. Then she brought me in on Age of Innocence with Scorsese, and I got that. So my first foray, I had three films under my belt.
Were you working harder than you had before?
I know, yes, yes.
And you've been doing a lot of television recently.
Yeah.
Not only opposite your friend Margot Martindale in The Millers, but also as Lena Dunham's grandmother in mm-hmm. Girls.
And that should be showing probably a few weeks from now.
And then there's another HBO show, Getting On.
Yes.
What's that about?
That is so funny. It's about a hospital for older women. And it's such fun to do. And the women, there's three women, Laurie Metcalf and Niecy Nash and Alex, and I can't remember Alex's last name. But they're so brilliant. It's from a British show. They took it from a British sitcom. But it's fun.
Now, why do you think you hadn't done more film until Alice? Is it because you were living here and devoting yourself to theater?
I really didn't even think of myself as doing film. And I was working constantly in the theater. I was one of the lucky ones. I did work most of the time in theater. And I did cabaret, off-Broadway, everything you could do.
Well, you're 84 now, uh-huh. and you're working harder than ever.
Well, I am.
You also play, and you get all the grandmother roles. You were Jennifer Love Hewitt's grandmother in The Ghost Whisperer.
Ghost Whisperer, yeah.
So are there other films, or is it mostly television these days?
Well, I really haven't dealt too much. I've been offered some things, and I think one was a film, but I chose not to do them. And there's a possibility of a TV show, but that's just barely starting. So I'm sort of at bay right now.
Well, they say that if you win an Oscar, suddenly your career takes off.
Yes, yes.
What happens if you win the Oscar? Do you think you're ready for all of the roles you're going to be offered?
Everything that's going to
happen. At least you can pick and choose.
Of course, yeah. I think that's the advantage of something like that.
And I suspect that you've always been pretty good at picking the roles that you've taken.
I have, yeah. I wanted to stop doing musicals and do straight roles, so I just stopped doing musicals. I kept turning them down.
Did you ever turn down anything you regretted later?
No. Truly never have.
Yeah, because so many actors have.
Yeah, oh, of course, and how easy it is, too. But no, I think I thought everything through when I did turn something down.
I'm still trying to imagine you as Elektra in Gypsy. June Squibb, nominated for an Oscar for Best Supporting Actress as Kate Grant in Alexander Payne's Nebraska, in theaters around town.
Yeah.
I hope you do well.
Thank you.
Win that Oscar.
Thank you.